Do you like wine? Do you like charities? With One Hope Wine, you can do both. One Hope is an award-winning company in California that is built on hope and rooted in purpose. Go to JenAndCamsOneHope.com or JenAndCamsOneHope on Instagram for more information. One Hope Wine. Changing the world never tasted so good. Today's episode of the Ringside Rant is presented by Purple Carrot. Purple Carrot is the plant-based subscription meal kit that makes it easy to cook irresistible meals to fuel your body. Each week, choose from an expansive and delicious menu of dinners, lunches, breakfasts, and snacks. Every box is an opportunity to learn and experience something new with easy recipes and fresh pre-portioned ingredients. No shopping, no food waste, just globally inspired restaurant quality plant-based meals. Get $30 off your first box by going to purplecarrot.com and enter the code PODGO30 at checkout today. That's PODGO30 for $30 off your first Purple Carrot box. Purple Carrot, the easiest way to eat more plants.
A long rip. Pat Patterson, what is this Intercontinental Champion?
Just what it says, Mr. McMahon. Last week, Pat Patterson and yours truly were in Rio de Janeiro for the week, where Pat Patterson and 20 of the world's, not the United States, not Northern United States, not Southern United States, but from all over the world, England, France, China, Russia, all over. That is where the tournament was held, and this is the man who emerged triumphant, the new Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, now, Mr. Patterson, what happens to the North American title if, in fact, you are the Intercontinental Champion?
Well, let me tell you something. First of all, the Intercontinental Champion represents a lot of money and a lot of prestige, and represents a lot more prestige than the world's championship belt, because you know why? To win that championship, I had to beat 15 of the best wrestlers in the world in the tournament, and I came out on top. So I don't care who the world's champion is, I am the Intercontinental Champion, and I'm the best in the world today. Now, as far as the North American championship belt is concerned, I really don't care what happens to it, because now I'm up to bigger things. They'll probably have a tournament or something. I really don't care. Now I'm up to bigger things. You're looking right now on your television screen at one of the best wrestlers in the world today, Pat Patterson, the new Intercontinental Champion. Now, how do you like that, to see me on your television screen?
Right. Thank you for your time, the Grand Wizard and Pat Patterson.
Before we go, they tell me you have a lot of class. Why don't you shake my hand and congratulate me?
Congratulate us both.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Pat Patterson and the Grand Wizard. We shall return with more wrestling action in just a moment.
This week's episode of the Ringside Rant is dedicated to the life and the memory of the first ever Intercontinental Champion, Mr. Pat Patterson, who passed away last week. My thoughts and my prayers go out to his family, his co-workers, and all of his fans across the world. Rest in peace, champ. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Ringside Rant and welcome to Ranters Nation. Today, I welcome a man back to the show. He's a man of many hats. obviously he's got to cover his bald spot, like much like myself, but he is bald. He is beautiful. He's the one, he's the only, he's Paulie B. Paulie, what's up, man?
Hey, RJ, how you doing? Thank you so much for having me on.
Anytime, Matt. Yeah, it's good to have you back. I know last time I, you know, I had to put up with Timmy a little bit. So I figured, you know what? I figured I'd have just you on this time. And I'm sure he's over doing like bench press curls or something.
Hopefully something for those calf muscles. But yeah, I think I've been on once with Timmy, and I think I was on with Jay-Z at one point as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, that's right. Because then I think we watched watched a couple of matches of that. But yeah, it's it was definitely, you know, not eye-opening, but kind of hard to see. You know, obviously with Jay-Z, you guys are kind of, you know, a little, we'll call it a hiatus because you never know. Like they say in the wrestling business, you never say never, especially as well as in the podcasting world as well, too, because you never know how opinionated that he is. I'm sure he can, you know, jump on anytime. But yeah, it was one of those things where it's good why it went and, you know, went out with a bang with the real world's champion, Nick Aldis.
Yeah, no, listen, I had such a fun time working with Jay-Z. Jay-Z and I still talk daily. And, you know, we just knew with some responsibilities that were happening for both of us, even not only in, you know, the media world or Bojangles or podcasting, but in our work lives, in our family lives, and just had so much going on that we just sat down and had a conversation one night and just started talking through it and really just kind of decided what makes sense. And I think for both of us, we were at peace with saying this was a hell of a good time. We had a lot of fun together. But let's hit the pause button, you know, on this for now. And we had a lot of fun shows, some good guests, and a lot of good times with people that we brought on, you know, that were bought merch and things of that nature. But we just felt it was a good time to stop the show. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see Jay-Z and I show up on a live on Twitter at some point or do some other stuff down the road. But for now, we're breathing and kind of taking a break. And he really, you know, for him to jump into a weekly podcast again, I think is going to be very difficult. It could happen again one day. But I think you'll see him do more appearances and guest spots here and there that work out for him, and then concentrate on Bojangles and some other things he has going on. But man, we are still very close friends, and it was a good time.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those things where you have to, you know, I met both obviously yourself and a lot of the guys last year. Well, just before this time last year at Starcaster in Baltimore, and you know, it's one of those things is. Whether similar to the wrestling business where you don't have to talk to each other, you don't have to meet each other ever, but the first time you meet officially in person, it's like the first time you heard the Beatles kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, it's, you know, he's one of those personalities. He's definitely a personality, and I'm sure he's will definitely get his voice heard. I can tell you that.
I have nothing but good things to say about Jay-Z Flair, Justin Zimmerman, the man. And again, great friend. That's going to continue on. We just decided to take our voices off of the Jay-Z Flair show and you know, put our efforts into some other things right now. But really great time. And you know what? You mentioned Nick Aldis, the Real World's Champ, closing it down. And I can't think of a better way to have the last person to speak on that show be Nick Aldis, especially when you think about him and Jay-Z's relationship. Nick Aldis is not ashamed to put out on Twitter his feelings about Jay-Z and what his thoughts are about him. And I think that that has been very cool to see how that's matured. We had him on as a guest at one point on the show, Jay-Z's favorite show of all time, obviously, but there's so much mutual respect there. And to me, I had to work with Nick behind the scenes to get him on and then talk about us, you know, if he'd be willing to record something for the final show. And the way that he worked with me, the comments that he made behind the scenes aren't public knowledge, just told me a lot about the man. And I have nothing but respect for him, even as a wrestler now. I'm a bigger fan of Nick Aldis than I ever was before. Not necessarily saying he's Ric Flair or Shawn Michaels, but just he's a really, really good person, a really, really good guy that wants to do well. And you see the effort is there. And so you just can't help but cheer for someone, you know, like that. And so I became a bigger fan of him just through that whole experience. So really a cool way to go out on that show with him and some of the nice things that he shared about Jay-Z.
Yeah, I first saw him when they did that whole 10 Pounds of Gold series with the NWA. I saw that that's when I got, you know, got into the NWA, got into, you know, obviously more in depth talking to Jay-Z, at least, you know, maybe not a daily basis, every other day or once a week or something, just to say, hey, what's going on? How are things kind of thing. But, and then I got to see Mr. Nick Aldis, and, you know, just, he's one of those guys where if you were to start a promotion, you'd want him either as your number one guy or the guy that's chasing the guy.
Yeah. And as we talk today, you know, RJ, we just saw the big angle that happened with AEW, and we're anticipating what's going to happen with Impact. But you think about a guy like Nick Aldis, who's still, I don't want to say on the sidelines, he's still the NWA champion. I know they just came out with Shockwave, and you got to see his match with Mike Bennett. But he's a guy, I want to see him more than just on YouTube. With all this good stuff that's about to go down in wrestling, and who knows what happens with Impact and AEW, there's a lot of possibilities that could come, some angles. I really wish, as one of my wrestling buddies said, I really wish the wrestlers would quit talking about dream matchups so that we can actually see this evolve and be surprised as it does occur. But, you know, there's got to be a spot somewhere for Nick Aldis in the Dome Globe, you would think, somewhere in the mix there. So I'm really hoping that we see him in 2021 be put on a bigger stage than what we have.
Yeah, I would say if any of the major promotions out there that, you know, aren't thinking about bringing him in, I would highly suggest you do it, just because obviously his resume speaks for himself, for itself. You know, I think, you know, at this point, you know, I think the whole AEW Impact thing is kind of, for him, it's kind of out the window, because obviously they're doing their own thing. Excuse me. Who knows? Maybe the whole thing he did with ROH last year, that could be something too, where he'd be feuding with their champion or whoever.
Yeah, there's rumors that AEW might not just stop with Impact, you know, as far as working with other promotions. So it's going to be interesting to see how that evolves, because if they are able to figure out something with New Japan, if they are able to figure out something, they already have Thunder Rosa, mm-hmm. and other wrestlers, women's wrestlers from Allison Kay, that have already crossed over. So you just have no idea what could come in 2021. I tell you what, I'm excited for wrestling next year.
Well, yeah, and all this whole Impact and AEW crossover, the NWA to AEW, all that jazz, it's only going to make us as wrestling fans, you know, love the sport even more, because, you know, we've never seen anything like this, at least, you know, in our lifetimes, just because you go back, we had that whole invasion angle with WCW and WWE back in 2001, but you know, for better use of terms, it was kind of pretty shoddy at that. But, you know, just to see all the scuttlebutt, you got to stay off of Twitter now, because the whole AEW Impact thing. Oh, I want to see, you know, I want to see John Moxley against.
Well, the wrestlers are saying it, RJ. The wrestlers themselves are putting out, and it's like, don't talk. We just want to see it happen. Surprise us.
I just want to go back to the days of, you know, Ric Flair and, you know, Steamboat and Sting, and even though Sting just showed up on AEW, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it or been living under a rock the last few days. Just because, you know, they didn't have, you know, Twitter, they didn't have Instagram.
We need to be surprised. We need more surprises in wrestling.
And, you know, and I think, you know, the whole Sting, you know, debut in AEW, a lot of people, I knew he was showing up because they pulled his merchandise from WWE. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. That just
his
means
contract was over with them.
Up. I'm like, it's business. When it's like, if I were to leave work, my shoot job, they're going to want their stuff back.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's like, okay,
they're still not selling RJ hats once you leave, you know, no more Ringside Rant merch.
I can't even sell RJ hats at this point. but no, yeah, it's just this whole competition, especially even on Wednesday night, you go back to the NXT and, you know, with War Games being tomorrow night, you have this whole quote unquote war on Wednesday nights. It's just making the business better. And on top of it, you know, they're saying, oh, no fans in the stands are hurting the business. Okay. I get it. But it's also helping the business, because when the fans do come back, whenever that may be, you know, the wrestlers, men, women, whomever, they're going to enjoy those fans even more.
I think it's an opportunity too for a little bit better storytelling with the fans not there, as far as you can kind of extend some stuff out because you don't have to worry about that loud fan reaction as much as what you'd used to have to do on live television. So there is some, a little bit of opportunity for some storytelling, you know, and you've tried to see them do that with Uso and Roman and some other storylines. But I sometimes I'll watch like AEW on Wednesday night and I see Sting come back, or I see, you know, something big with Cody that's happened. I think, could you imagine what it would be like if there were 14,000 screaming fans right now when that moment happened? It would be extra goosebumps. So I cannot wait for loud, thriving audiences to return to pro wrestling. I hope it's in 2021 because there is nothing like that, especially when you see a good storyline finally, you know, maybe a climax to a great storyline or a big debut like a Sting. That place would have come unglued, RJ.
Oh, no
doubt. If that's in an arena, it would have been insane. So,
well, what makes me even more mad and pissed off is this, the whole when Brody Lee and Matt Hardy were supposed to debut. Was supposed to happen here in Rochester.
That's right.
And Brody being a Rochester guy, there would be no roof on the arena.
Yeah.
Because I'll give you this much. I took my son is 8 years old, another Gavin, just like your son. I took him to the last house show that was here in Rochester, and Brody was a surprise. He was coming back from injury. Awful. You know, everybody's cheering for him and they're calling him Brody. They're not calling him, you know, Luke Harper or something. They're calling him by his, you know, his independent name, but it's just making everybody, you know, better. And now they're like, oh, well, they booked him wrong. He's a WWE. I'm like, just let him enjoy for what it is.
I also think that the crowds are going to be even more rabid once we finally get back to 100% because of the suppression that has gone on now for over a year. You can imagine finally sitting in a crowd watching a big event or a pay-per-view and just how special that moment is going to be as a fan who can finally do that again and has the opportunity to be a part of that. And I think it's going to be just amazing once that time happens.
Yeah, and I just hope, you know, not so much AEW or any of the other promotions. I'm just hoping that WWE, more so the main roster, you know, just lets the fans be the fans when they come back, because, you know, all this, oh, Vince won't do this, it's his way. I'm like, well, I think we're going to start seeing a little kind of changing the guard, so to speak, with Triple H and Stephanie, because you're starting to see Triple H talk a lot more online saying, hey, we're a lot more open to interpromotional or, you know, cross branding with other promotions. I'm like, well, of course he's going to say that now, because you see this AEW and Impact thing now. I get it. But, you know, it's going to make the business better. You know, whether it's going to be a super promotion like they're going to hope for now to go against the juggernaut of the WWE, who knows? But at the end of the day, the fans are going to be benefiting.
Do you think house shows will ever return, RJ? House shows like WWE shows that aren't Raw, SmackDown, or a pay-per-view?
Eventually, I think. I don't think right off the bat. I think they're going to wait probably a year or two outside of, you know, when the fans are allowed back. I think they're still going to push that out a couple more years just to see how, you know, how rabid it is. If it's that rabid and they want it, well, let's go. But I think it's going to be interesting to see. And like, they might get a kind of reverse thing where they're going to be going to the TV shows a lot more. Maybe they're thinking of that way. I don't know, but eventually I see them. They're going to have to, because you can't, you know, a lot of these towns like a Rochester, smaller towns in Pennsylvania down by you, you know, is, you know, you're not going to see, you know, Raw, SmackDown in like Allentown, Pennsylvania anymore. You know what yeah. I mean? They're going to go to Pittsburgh, they're going to go to Philadelphia, they're going to go to Hershey. And I don't think they want to kind of limit themselves either. So hopefully it's not something that they're going to keep out permanently. Obviously, with that being said, obviously this week's been, you know, kind of strenuous. This year has been very strenuous. A lot of people are unfortunately passing on. We lost Pat Patterson, who's just one of those legends. I'm sure you did you have a chance to meet him when you were with doing StarCast?
He's one that I did not get an opportunity to meet. You know, I thought about that as the news broke of him passing, and I saw all the highlights, videos and clips and pictures. And I'd never had the opportunity to meet Pat Patterson. And so, but man, you know, when you think about him, when you think about the impact he's had on the wrestling business as a fan, that's what we are. We're just fans. But you can tell when wrestlers talk about him, when Gerald Briscoe, when he did the tribute to him recently that came out, Shawn Michaels and others, man, he was so important, not just to the wrestling business, but to so many people as just a friend. His lifestyle, and which, you know, he was one of the first to come out in the wrestling business as a gay superstar, you know, just huge. When you think about the impact that it had, I know it was a massive impact for, and I'm going to mention my first co-host now for Efren. You know, Efren was a little bit of a mess the morning that Pat passed away, and we called and talked to each other because as a wrestling fan, as a child, as a, you know, things that he was dealing with, Pat became one of his role models, became one of his heroes. So I just think there's a lot of impact with Pat Patterson across the board, just as a mentor, as a guy that was just amazing with storytelling, as a wrestler. But also it sounds like he was just a great guy and a great friend. And I don't want to act like I know him because I don't. I just know him from a distance and know what I hear people say about him. And it sounds like he was every bit just a top-notch guy. And so very sad, very, you know, just another one of those things in 2020, which just seems to be one of the most brutal years that we've probably ever lived through, RJ, in our lifetime, with the pandemic and everything else that's going on. And then with some of the tragedies, you know, you think about the beginning of the year and Kobe Bryant, and then you think about some other folks that have passed away, some stars and, you know, and Pat Patterson, and it's been very difficult. I think WWE has done a nice job of honoring him through their packages at the beginning of their shows, tremendous video packages. They have so much footage to pull from. And you think about the times of the Attitude Era with Gerald Briscoe and Vince McMahon and the funny characters that he played, and, you know, just so many good times. So huge loss for wrestling, and, you know, just an all around great guy. And, you know, so very, very sad time.
Yeah, I will say the one of the many things that the WWE does well is, you know, these memorials, these tributes, whether it be like with Pat Patterson, whether it be with Road Warrior Hawk, yes, and Animal, all these guys that have passed. You know, we go all the way back to 05 with Eddie.
This year you had the Finkel too. Yeah. You had Howard Finkel.
It's weird thinking about it now because it seems like so long ago, but it was this year that he passed. It's like, okay, we lost Finkel, we lost Pat, we lost Animal. It's like,
yeah.
I think, and I told my wife this, I said, dude, a lot of these guys that I grew up on, and I'm sure you too, I grew up watching. It's like, now they're starting to pass. I'm like, oh God, I told my wife, I'm like, God help me when, you know, you're going to have to pick me off the floor. God forbid, knock on wood, when the Nature Boy goes, because I go back now and I watch matches, and I'm sure you may do the same thing, match after match of his. And it's just like, man, it's going to be rough, but I think, like I said, we're getting to that time where a lot of these guys are getting up there in age, and it's just kind of one of those things that happens.
Life's a blur, RJ. It passes us by so quickly, and sometimes it takes death for us to stop and reflect and slow down and think about that. Mm-hmm. You know, we take for granted, tomorrow or next week or the next year. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, that's never going to come. And so, you know, it's tough to think about it that way, but that's the reality of life. You just never know when your number's going to be called. And so that's why I think it's important that we cherish one another. We're kind, we're friendly. The last thing you want to do is talk down or ill of someone, and then something like that, you know, happen to a person, or, you know, so for me, that's always been something that's been important to me, is try to keep a clear conscience and make sure you have good relationships with people. Life is too short. I've had loss in my own family, and know that, you know, bitterness and resentment and things like that, they do nothing but hurt you as an individual. And so it's just very important to focus on relationships and building each other up in a society, unfortunately, where that's not always the case. But yeah, that starts with each one of us. And so hopefully, you know, we can continue, you and I, RJ, can continue to be those lights on. Sometimes you look at Twitter and it's like, ugh, this is a cesspool. But doesn't have to be. Does not have to be. So.
No, we ended up, I was talking to my mom today too, out in Buffalo. And I told her, I'm like, hey, I just saw this. Cause she was a fan of this guy, was Squeaky, Laverne and Shirley.
Yes, Laverne and Shirley. Yeah.
And I'm like, geez, I'm like, I told him, like, he was 73, which was, he was 73. Yeah. David Lander. And I'm like, man, I remember watching that with my mom. And I'm like, holy Christ. I'm like, it's just, I didn't realize he was that old. I'm like, I thought he was like around my mom. My mom's about in her 60s, but I'm like, getting ill will towards my mother or anything, but I'm like, I thought he was around your age. She's like, yeah, I know. I thought he was too.
It's something else, you know, because obviously I work and work with Efren and Timmy on Saved by the Pod, and a lot of that pop culture stuff, I'll go back when I'm bored or maybe it's late at night and I'll watch some old television shows or old movies. Sometimes a lot of sitcoms, I've been known to go into the 80s or the 70s and watch some of those sitcoms. Maybe I wasn't allowed to watch as a kid, but they were, you know, a big deal. Maybe they're in the top 100 shows of all time or something. But I always find it interesting because when I go back and do that, I go back and I end up researching some of the stars that are on those shows, and it's like, you know, died of cancer, died here, died there, and I'm like, my goodness, time flies. So a lot of these folks that I'm watching now are either in their 70s or they've passed. So life just flies by, man. It does. And but hey, right now we're living, breathing, and enjoying some wrestling, so let's not make this all too
like I said to you before, I'm just wanting to talk about it briefly. I don't want to, and a lot of wrestling podcasts and podcasts in general are going to be talking about it. I don't want to dwell on the negative, but something that's not negative is Saved by the Pod. As I'm reaping in the goodness of the Saved by the Pod t-shirt.
Love the shirt.
I saw the Back to the Future. I was tossed up between this one, and I'm like, if I get like three packages of shirts coming in, my wife's going to kill me. So I'm like, I'll get one now and I'll get one later. But I saw this and then the Top Gun, I'm like, oh, I'm like, I got to go Back to the Future. Cause that's my jam, that the trilogy there.
Yeah.
You know, been a listener since day one, definitely, you know, and I tell you on a constant basis, I just dig in each and every week. It's better and better and better. Even though Timmy's on there with his shit notes, even he's getting better. And I don't want his head to get even bigger than it already is, but.
Nah, man, I appreciate that. You know, we celebrated our first year in August, and feel like this year we've been able to figure out the formula and format and really make things click. You know, when it's like anything else, when you start a podcast, and this is the first Saved by the Pod was the first podcast I ever did. I mean, I had no clue what I was getting myself into. I didn't know how to edit. I had no clue about a WAV versus an MP3, no idea about Adobe Audition and learning all that good stuff, or hey, I better put an application in if I want Apple Podcasts to play my podcast, or I need to make sure I applied on Spotify and, you know, do all those little things. And then, oh, let's think about a t-shirt store. Let's think about artwork. Let's think about ads and how can we get our show advertised, you know, to grow our listener base. But it has been one of the most fun things that I've ever been a part of. And, you know, the idea came out, and the story's been told out of a group chat, and we gave it a go. And it's funny because people will be like, oh, I just started listening to your show. And I'm like, don't listen to episode one. Don't listen to episode one. You won't stick around. Because honestly, we were still trying to figure things out then, RJ. We knew we had a concept. We knew that we wanted to figure out how we could intertwine a wrestling event with what else was going on in the world of pop culture around that singular wrestling event and make it fun. You know, we all remember our favorite 80s music or 90s music or songs that click. Maybe it was our favorite television show. We talked sitcom. So maybe it was, you know, Boy Meets World or Full House or whatever the case may be that, you know, brings back some fond memories, or the movie you just mentioned, Back to the Future. What are some of that? So it was a way to figure out how to do that. But for us, it became the biggest thing that really helped us move forward was bringing Efren into the fold. He is a creative guy, absolutely full of great ideas. We joke on the show about him driving the party bus. And but he really does. He comes up with a lot of our contests. Now, don't you ever ask me to explain them. But Efren comes up with these great contests. But in terms of the clips, so really our show became more about just instead of just listening to two or three guys talk the whole time, it became about how do we make people feel something? And to us, it was playing clips from some of the best of shows, you know, 10, 20, 30 seconds. It was making sure we had music underlaying everything that we talked about, whether it was Back to the Future or if it was a Mariah Carey song or, you know, whatever that movie was. We need to make sure we have music. And then when we get to the wrestling, we're going to approach it differently than breaking down the card and hold for hold. Efren really helps bring to the table that different approach to wrestling that most people don't look at it through those eyes. He brings that creativity and that perspective that you just don't find that often. And he obviously being, he's loud and proud being a gay man, he's going to look at things very differently and see things very differently when he sees two guys in their underwear wrestling each other in a ring than most of us are. And so I think that we balance each other out. You know, people have been like, well, how does, you know, Paul, you're like the straight guy. And as far as just, you know, the host and kind of the serious guy. And I try to chime in with some stuff here and there, but really that's my role, to facilitate two personalities. Timmy's going to be more of that dry sense of humor, who's going to jab in with his jokes every now and then. And Efren's going to be that big, loud, outlandish personality that's going to bring a completely different dynamic. But if you have if all three work together and can, you know, we can maximize each other's strengths in that way, in a fun way, that's going to come through on the show. And so fortunately for us, it has, and it's clicked. And we've tried to advertise on a few of Conrad's podcasts simply because we know that that's how we all met. We all met via a Conrad show. And if the three of us and even some friends outside of the show that we've met through there, enjoy Conrad's show for the retro or for the nostalgia side of it, I'm sure there's many other listeners in his world that will also grasp onto or think about or enjoy the pop culture. And so when we've advertised with them, we've seen spikes in our downloads and subscriptions just, you know, through the roof. Every time we've done an advertisement with him, there's just been growth that has not gone away. So it's been a big hit for us. So we're really enjoying what we do. I can't put over Efren and Tim enough. Especially with some of the new responsibilities that I've added on. Tim came out and learned how to do all the editing and has done a phenomenal job. I don't think anybody could tell any kind of difference from since I have edited to him. But it's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. There's a huge QC or QA process after we record where whoever's editing would then allow the rest of us to listen to it first. And then literally Efren goes through and says, at the 55-second mark, this needs to be fixed. At the 2-minute and 22-second mark, we need to add this. And literally it goes through that and then re-edit it again before you get the finished project. So I say all that to say we are intent on trying to deliver the best possible show we can each week. And so to hear you say, hey, I've been in from day one and now, man, it's clicking and it's the best ever, really solidifies kind of that the work that we're doing is paying off.
Yeah, it definitely, and you talked about it too. You guys didn't really find your stride until you brought Efren in. And not to obviously dismiss what you and Timmy did previous, but, you know, you had to have those two different personalities, being Timmy and being Efren. And if you don't think that they have personalities, just talk to them or just tweet at them and you'll figure it out soon enough.
Just listen to one show.
That's all you got
to
do.
Listen to Shit Notes, yeah. Shit Notes and Keeping It Kayfabe, and you'll hear all the personality you need to hear.
I don't even think I told you this. There was a couple of times there when I'll listen in my work truck or something. I'm driving all over the place, the couple counties up here in New York. And I legitimately had to pull over a couple times because I was laughing so hard between you know, Tim and Efren going back at each other, and then you're back there trying to reel them back in because you don't want to turn it into a Conrad Thompson 3-hour podcast or something. And I'm just like, there's nothing else. If anybody else knows of a similar podcast than say with like Saved by the Pod, I want you to tell me, because there isn't anything out there. And that's something that, you know, you and I have discussed before and other people have discussed. You have to find something that's unique. You know, I don't want to say everybody can interview, because that's not true. It is difficult, yes, but you don't want to ask the same questions. You don't want to do the same thing over and over.
Yeah. That's really our goal. What makes us not guest dependent, and what makes us unique? Because like you said, there's so many people out covering current wrestling. A lot of people are doing it. I think Conrad has the handle on nostalgia wrestling and what happened in times past. We're never going to compete with that. Hello, no way. What can we do? And people say this all the time, is what are you passionate about? What do you enjoy? What's fun? And for me, when I thought about fun, for Efren, for Timmy, when we thought about what was fun, it was like, well, yeah, we love wrestling. But man, like I said, we loved a lot of pop culture stuff too. Let's figure out a way to make it work and do something different. And listen, RJ, there are people there, like my wife, girlfriends of my wife actually listen to the show because they like it. They turn it off right before it gets to the wrestling, because wrestling's not their cup of tea, and that's okay. I believe Pondwater Dave one time said, "Guy, Paul, I could stop listening to your show after the pop culture's done and love it, because it brings back a lot of memories, you know, for him." And that's where we really wanted to, you know, dial it in. This is a show where people who just enjoy pop culture will get something out of it. It is also a show if you like pop culture and the wrestling, or you just want to hear three guys kind of BS and look at wrestling very differently than what anybody else is. I mean, when Efren can tell you that a bell rang 110 times at the end of a match, you know that bell rang 110 times, because literally that's what he does. He sits up all night long on the iPad and calculates everything. And he wants to bring something different that nobody else does. So it's really cool.
Well, I don't think there's going to be anybody else out there that'll count with the bell going off 110 different times.
No one will.
I even think it was the last episode you did at the ECW.
Yes, ECW just came out. Yep.
Yeah, and with the cowbell, he's like, yes. What the hell is that? I'm like, I just listen over and over. I'm like, oh my god, just
nobody's going to talk about that. But it's a thing. It's a thing, and he makes it even into a bigger thing that now you'll never forget, and that's the key.
Wait, because so many other people will ignore it, put it to the side like it doesn't happen. Efren's like, what the hell? You know, when you want to.
What are we doing at this event? What is happening? And why does your bell sound like the cowbell from Saturday Night Live?
Exactly. Yeah. But, and I'm similar the same way too, where with Panawad or Dave, is granted he's a couple, 2-3 years older than us. But anyways, that's beside the point. You know, you could get that pop culture, whether it be, like you said, TV, or you could turn it off because we've seen all the wrestling. So even though it's kind of a different side of, you know, what you normally wouldn't, you know, think about or talk about, but going back,
it's a variety show. It's a variety show that includes wrestling and other things.
Yeah. But yeah, if anybody's not subscribed to it, I'd highly, highly suggest go over to the website, get merch like I have, and, you know, just support these three, because you know, they're definitely putting in the hard work. Yes, even Tim, you know, we you get those jabs back and forth. And even when you listen to Conrad stuff and with, yep, whether it be Tony or Eric, or mostly Tony, but, you know, oh, that Paulie B son of a bitch, he sent me all this spam crap and I had to eat it on a white toast or white Wonder Bread.
Dude, I sent him that probably in 2018. So he's just now pulling that out of his cupboard.
But still good, right? It's like,
that's right. That's what potted meat's there for. It'll last you a lifetime.
And it's like that, them and Twinkies. Yeah. But that's what I'm the same way though. I'm like, I probably have a can of the hell is it? Corned beef hash. My wife's like, I don't know how you eat it. I'm like, it's the stuff you grow up on. It's not, like I said, it's similar to Saved by the Pod. You get, see, there you go. Potted meat is like Saved by the Pod. There you go.
It's a t-shirt.
There you go. But that's, you get those
Saved by the Potted Meat.
There you go. In the spam lettering.
There you go.
Oh boy.
Trademark it now. You guys are LLC, so you guys have a trademark.
We
on
are.
That.
We are.
Which you don't see a lot of people.
Yeah, some people have asked because we are or LLC. We're also trademarked, and actually Conrad, and when I was with him in Huntsville, said, "Hey, why'd you trademark? Just curious." And really, one of the main motivators was someone on Twitter had Saved by the Pod at Saved by the Pod locked down for the last few years. No followers. No, they weren't following anyone. They had. They've also already taken the Saved by the Pod at Gmail. But they on their Twitter profile, they had it pointing to savedbythepod.com. which is our website. So I wanted to go after that handle. I wanted the Saved by the Pod at Saved by the Pod full Twitter handle. So we went in and got all the legal ducks in a row. And I went to Twitter and went back and forth with them. They required so much information. I'm talking about my driver's license, this, that, the other thing. So I got them everything they needed. They suspended the at Saved by the Pod account, but we're not able to give it to us, but it won't cause any more confusion. But man, when I explained to Connor, he's like, no, that's the right thing. That's what you should do. Cause yeah. You know, we've created a brand and you know, we just wanted to make sure that everything and all the hard work that we've put together that we you know, own that type of stuff and have all our ducks in a row there. So little peek behind the curtain on that one, if you will.
Yeah. You kind of have your own personal gimmick attorney.
That's right. We worked with Mike Dawkins. We did, actually. So he helped us with all of it.
Yeah. No, he's a great guy. It's so hearing him and seeing him on AIDS-free shows now.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Between his stuff that he's doing with like, it's kind of like the numbers behind the curtain kind of thing with the business and even with the Sad News Bears too. But AIDS-free shows, man, that is, I just got in there. Beginning of last month.
You're a top guy. You're a top guy, RJ. Yeah.
And you know, I go back to being one of Tony's Patreon. Last year, I just kind of took a little bit of time off, and I'm like, I saw the lineup in the month of November that Conrad was coming out with. I'm like, starting to show, starting to do well. I can get it out there. I'm like, screw it. I'm going all in. I'll become a top guy. You know, get all the benefits that go. Ensue in that, and I do it on Twitter every day, usually, or at least once a week. If you guys aren't part of Ad Free Shows, go over to adfreeshows.com right now. Just look at the levels. You don't even have to. I'm not saying you have to go over. It'd be nice if you go over and become a Patreon, but the stuff that you get each and every level is absolutely phenomenal.
If you're on the fence, just do it. And I'm telling you, we're in the middle of a pandemic. So there's not some of the stuff as far as the get togethers and things like that, you know, they haven't happened. But what Conrad has been able to map out and his vision that I've been able to sit in his office and kind of see on the Excel sheet of where it's going. I'm telling you, you want to be in on this. The content, this top guy content, for instance, you know, this will probably have already happened, RJ, when the show releases. But Tuesday night, we are doing an Ask Conrad for the top guys. So he's going to come on and we're going to work on that together. We're doing some fun stuff with Mike Chioda. We're going to do a watch along next Saturday of The Rock versus Austin. Yes. With the referee, the guy that was in the ring for that match. We're going to do a watch along with him. There's just so much stuff being done behind the scenes to really make Ad-Free Shows the destination. So I know the big picture goal one day is for it to have its own app that you can go right on your smart TV and click on Ad-Free Shows. And the goal, Conrad's goal, all of our goal, is that you have the WWE Network and you have Ad-Free Shows. And that gives you everything you could possibly want in wrestling coverage. So that means there's going to be a lot of hard work to do. But I can tell you that almost everyone in the wrestling business knows the name Conrad Thompson. And if they're not busy doing something, I guarantee you they will have or will reach out to him and say, what can I do to be a part of this? And he has connections and conversations with so many key people in the business that and everything you say, you hear the joke Conrad dust, that's a real thing.
And there are people that want to work with him. Mike Chioda, Gerald Briscoe, so many others. So it's going to be exciting to see the growth and where it goes. But really, it is a when you talk about content creation, RJ, it doesn't get bigger than ad-free shows. Every time I turn around, I'm getting a notification of something else popping in my feed.
It's just unreal. And, you know, you're in it. You're in Tony's chat last weekend. And then sure as hell, oh, Rebel pops in because she wanted to say hi to Tony. And then other than that, here comes Cody. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like,
Cody Rhodes jumps in our chat.
I'm like, unreal. And I'm like, I'm trying to keep a straight face here. And I'm sure you, Inside, I'm like a little schoolgirl. And I'm like, I'm trying to get my son to come downstairs because he's doing stuff up. So I'm like, come on. I'm texting my wife, get Gavin to come down because he watches AEW with me because he's into wrestling and he knows Cody, but he doesn't know Cody from Cody. He calls him the nightmare guy.
It's funny that night. So about an hour before the Tony episode, we had done the Rebel happy hour. So Rebel, that's right, the same Rebel that accompanies Britt Baker to the ring every week. She does every other week happy hour. She's going to do one. So we're recording this on Saturday. So she'll do the next happy hour tomorrow on December the 6th. RJ, I'm sure you'll probably be there for that. Oh, yeah. But we did a happy hour with her. And after the happy hour, we were texting and her and Corey, and I, you know, thanked them both. And then I shot her a text. I said, hey, I'm about to jump on Tony's. What do you think about doing a run-in? And she's like, only if he would want me to. So about 15 minutes before Tony's Zoom goes live, Tony and I are in the Zoom and I start talking to him. I said, hey, I reached out to Rebel. What do you think about her doing a run-in on your Zoom chat? He's like, yeah, let's do it. He's like, hold on. And he started working on putting the background behind him, which was him and Rebel hugging each other. So while he worked on that, I texted her and said, he's in. Come right in at 6:45 and I'll go to you first and it'll be a lot of fun. And it was total freestyle, but that's the cool part of things that can happen in this community. And the fact that Tony's sitting in, DDP studio and that Cody's just, you know, milling the halls and comes in and is like, hey, what do you got going on here? Can I jump in on this? And all the guys' faces on that Zoom chat was like, their eyes were as big as circles. Cody sits down. He's like, oh, hey, guys. Yeah, I'll take some questions. And I, as the administrator, couldn't hit mute quick enough because I had 20 guys that all wanted to talk at the same time. So that was a little bit of a managerial nightmare. But we got it cleaned up and figured out. And it was really cool for Cody to do that. So, again, you never know the rabbit that's going to be pulled out of somebody's hat over at Ad Free Shows to make these experiences memorable.
Well, yeah, definitely. And even we had Ask Lauren last night, even for ad free shows, you were in there. I saw you and I even asked him, like, okay, who do you want? Anybody, literally anybody could come to ad free shows, literally.
Yeah. And Lauren's fantastic, by the way. I'll plug her. She is the Zoom queen. She is the live event queen. She has worked hard to develop a lot of good relationships, a lot of close relationships with a lot of the folks on there. We all know her love for Eric Bischoff. but you know, it's just, that's the other cool part is it's just a lot of cool people that getting to know and getting to work with. And working with her has just been like a cherry on top of all of it.
Yeah. And you wouldn't think, you got top guys, you got top gals too, being Lauren and Brandy. And I'm like, growing up, you know, being, you know, back in my day, and you know as Timmy would say, back before the turn of time with you on the show, but you know, it wasn't cool to be a wrestling fan. You didn't see lady wrestling fans, you know. Yeah, so it was a guy show, you know, me as a guy soap opera. Now it's turning into wrestling's for everybody, and you know, I think, you know, even ad-free shows is turning, ad-free shows is for everybody, because it's just like you said, you mentioned Mike Chioda, you meant Gerald Briscoe, right?
Medusa, Rebel.
There you go. It's just, the list goes on and on and on, and every day, like you said, you get a notification that somebody else is popping on, and it's just like, I have to like look myself in the mirror and shake myself sometimes because it's like, oh my god, I can actually talk to Eric Bischoff or Tony or whoever.
And think about mansplaining. How cool of a show is that, where Mance Warner gets on there with one of your wives, with, you know, somebody's wife. They have a t-shirt out now. I think it's called Mance Did Your Wife. But literally he has the wife on the show and they watch a match together. And it's really like usually a crazy match or something really, you know, out of control. And Mance just, you know, prompts the wife with these crazy statements and questions. And the women's reaction has been hilarious to some of the stuff. It's been gold. And honestly, that's the fun of it, is just watching their mortified first time viewing expression of this thing we call pro wrestling. And so that's been entertaining too.
Yeah, I was just listening to the newest one came out this morning. With was it Nick Mills' wife or girlfriend, wife, whom I think she said girlfriend, but they said
significant
wife,
other, yeah,
the better half. Because let's be honest, we married up, we all did. I talked to my wife about it. I'm like, hey, we got this thing with the, you know, this Patreon thing I'm a part of, and you know, you can go on and watch a match. And she's like, yeah, no. She just straight out. And I'm like, you sure? I'm like, I can make it worth your while. She's like, yeah, no. I'm like, she's like, you know me, I can't, you know, I can't go, and I hate talking to people at work.
That's tough, because I think it takes a certain personality, someone that's willing to come out of their shell and be expressive, that really makes that show click. Cause you know, Mance is going to try to, you know, set up some good questions and see how far, you know, the wife or the significant other, the spouse will go with it. So you got to have someone on there that's going to be expressive and not shy and kind of be a little over the top. Like I loved Big Booty Judy when she was on, because that she was just giving her normal self reaction, and it was hilarious.
Well, exactly. And I think it was, I'll call her Mrs. Silva. I'll probably get heat for it.
Heather
Silva. There you go.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, we got to be respectful. It's Mr. and Mrs. Silva. Come on. it's just, if you can't find something to like with ad-free shows, you really, I don't know what to tell you, because between, like you said, Gerald Briscoe, you got Medusa, you got Rebel, you got Tony, you got Eric, you got JR, you got Arn. I don't know what to tell you, but it's just a lot of great stuff. I'm sure is coming down the pipeline too. Obviously stuff that you can't talk about.
You got to make sure you come to the holiday party, RJ, December 17th, Ugly Sweater. If you're not a top guy, become a top guy. And I'm telling you, you will not regret it. Okay. So you got to make sure you come to that holiday party.
So they said the 17th.
Yep. Zoom event. And I think everybody's going to be encouraged to break out that ugly Christmas sweater. And you'll hear more about it as we get closer.
And no birthday suits.
No, please, no.
Nobody wants to see that.
As waist up, you got an ugly sweater on. We don't care what you got waist down.
Just don't get up. I think it was that one episode with Sad News Bears when they had the videos with Poundwater Dave got up and he had the Spanx or something on. I'm like... Or it said any bitch can get it, or any girl.
Yeah, that's their phrase. Yeah.
And I'm like, of course he would. I'm sure he's probably a couple, two, three in. But
yeah,
it's just unreal.
He created a moment for you, RJ, a moment in which you will never forget. Dave Poundwater Dave and Spanx.
Yeah.
It's all about creating those moments.
Yeah, it's something that's burned into my mind that I can't even get out with alcohol, as much as I've tried. It's another thing that we've seen, obviously, with last year. I brought it up in Baltimore, where we officially, quote unquote, met with StarCast in Baltimore. A lot of the concerts, a lot of, you know, cameos, it's all online now. Do you think we're going to really start? Are we going to see a StarCast virtually, or do you think Conrad is really going to kind of wait and see kind of thing? And when the world does open up again,
yeah, I don't think you'll see a full scale virtual StarCast, and you know, in a full few day form. I think what you'll see as part of more of the ad free shows is guest spots and different people coming on. Maybe if there's a big event, like we're doing a Christmas event. I could see with Tony, I think, you know, I've heard him brainstorming about a low-key Big Hog event that he wants to do virtually. That could include some people that, you know, we cheer for in wrestling. So I think you may see some of that stuff. I think Conrad ultimately, and he's mentioned this on his Ask Conrad show,
His goal would be to get back to a StarCast 5 in Labor Day next year sometime. That's September. That's 10 months away. So I don't know if that's going to happen. It just seems like this COVID continues to spiral out of control. But the plan is, when all this stuff's gone and cleared, or a vaccine or whatever's happened, when we're able to return back to something, you know, semi-normal, normal, you can expect it'll be a StarCast of StarCasts, and it will be in person. But I think until then, you know, the goal is to just build that community on ad-free shows and be able to provide as much cool content and different events that we can until that time comes. But again, these aren't calls that, you know, Conrad can easily make right now, just because of the uncertainty of where we are in our country with this pandemic. So I'll tell you what, I know that when this does finally wrap up, and it will, we will get over this, that there will be better times, brighter days ahead. We all will be hugging and fist bumping again around a bar soon, one of these days. And when that day comes, you want to be a part of this community. We've been, RJ, you mentioned Baltimore. I've been to the three of the four StarCasts, and it is a weekend long party, wrestling fan nerddom heaven, as far as all the experiences and things that you get to do and be a part of. Not only that, all of us connecting, all of our friends on Twitter, seeing each other and hanging out. You can't, you know, there's not enough people to talk about that, but it's also like a family reunion when we go to something like that. And I'm sure that it'll blow the doors off when we finally get back to that.
Yeah, and that's another thing I want to bring up about every show is it's that community, whether you're in the Discord service, whether you're following everybody on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or whatever. You know, you just get that sense of community when you go into these Zooms, when you see so-and-so, hey, how you doing? How's the family? How's the kids? You know, how are things going at home or work or whatever? That's that thing that makes you kind of forget about everything that's going out outside the walls, what's going on out there. And that's similar to like when you watch wrestling, you forget about, exactly. You get to forget about the outside world for those 2-3 hours, sometimes 6 hours when you're watching WWE, but you forget about that stuff. And that's what you really try to drive home, because, you know, too often people want to dwell on the negative. Yeah. This is the most positive group of people that, you know, I've ever been a part of. And it's a testament to, you know, everybody all the way from Conrad all the way down on his team. It's just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. It starts at the top, right? As far as, you know, you've heard him talk about, I don't do negative. I don't like negative people in my life. I don't give it any, you know, time. JR says it a little differently. It's not in his carry-on bag. You know, he doesn't take that stuff with him. And I think that philosophy has trickled down throughout this ad-free show organization. I work with, you know, Lauren, and I mentioned, and Evan Polisher. Man, you talk about an even keel guy. I think of him as like the operations, you know, manager that runs everything. But I've had to interact with him. We go through some challenging things to work through. I've never met a more even keel guy. And that's exactly what a great balance to Conrad as a visionary is, having that process oriented, even keel guy that makes sure that everything's happening below. You know, you think about a management team. Evan, he's like, if there were a diagram or a picture of someone that would work very well, it'd be Evan. It really is. And I've told him that. We've had these conversations, but it's been great working with him, man. He's all in. Again, a tremendous story. Shared it with us with Ask Evan as far as how he got connected and got to start working with Sean Mooney, and did that for a while with the social media. And now I think beginning of the year may end up being full time with everything that is CTE. So just really cool, great community, great people. You know, every community is going to have challenges, and there's things that we work through as a team. You know, everybody's going to have a reason or maybe something that they'd like to see done better. Trust me, we as a team, we want to make sure this is the absolute best fan experience out there. And we're committed to that, realizing
not everything's going to be perfect or happen exactly how we hoped it will, but the commitment is there to make it a killer experience for everyone there. So just got to, you know, continue to stay positive and realize that better days are coming as hopefully we can get through some of the challenges we've had.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had, like you said, Ask Evan, we've had Ask Lauren. I'm just waiting for the Ask Pauly B on ad-free shows. I know it's probably a very, very big long shot.
This is it right here, man. You're getting at, you ask me whatever you want right now, RJ.
Well, you know, and I got a bunch, and I got a bunch of listeners' questions too. That you know.
Oh boy, here we go.
A couple of we'll call them loyal listeners. I don't know how loyal they are. Whatever, but from the 30-year fan, I know you know him very, very personally.
Oh, the good old Andrew Hermes.
Yeah, don't call him Hermie.
Oh boy. He's going to light you up on Twitter for that, man.
Just
the heel.
There you go. Just put it up there. just take it all in, take it all in. He says, I had to actually dial it back. And now he sent me like a 16 page list of questions. I'm joking. What? Of course, 16 pages, but he did send me quite a bit. I'm like, I'll try to get them all in, but I'll try to narrow it down. But he said, for the record, loud and clear, explain the art of dealing with your awkward holiday food boner.
The art of dealing with my awkward Hollywood, what was it? Holiday?
Holiday.
Food boner.
Yes.
Well, Andrew, as you'll get to know me, you know, and Andrew and I talk quite a bit through DMs and we've met each other. It's just not a holiday food boner, my friend. It is an everyday food boner, okay? I like to open the refrigerator, okay? And not only do I like to open the refrigerator, I like to eat what's in the refrigerator. I also like to open the pantry door. Sometimes it's the pantry door first, then the refrigerator door, and sometimes it's the fridge and then the pantry. I don't know, I try to change things up a little bit, but I love food. And if that means I got a food boner, then buddy, I'm pitching my tent because I enjoy a good ham sandwich. I'm all for a bag of Doritos. And boy, we better be topping that off with a Snickers bar. And don't even get me started on McDonald's. But yeah, I like food and I've had my ups and downs. I've put on some pounds, I've taken some pounds off. And RJ, let me tell you, 2020 has been all about putting those COVID pounds on. So I have a lot of work to do in 2021, but man, I love food. And sometimes it means I have to rein in and get myself structured to get control over it. But if you met my dad and if you met my son, you would see that in the Bromwell family, we are food fanatics. So if that involves me being sexually aroused, then so be it. I'm happy to state that I'll wear it and I'll walk around with it loud and proud, baby.
If that's not a t-shirt right there and a snippet that and play those as bumpers for the next set of shows, I don't know what is. and to piggyback off of that, I always tell my wife, because I said, hey, if you don't want me to eat it, do one of two things, hide it or put your name on it.
Name used to be a thing in my house growing up, and it would be my dad saying, this is your dad's, do not touch my food. Okay, well, Dad, you're in there sleeping, pal. And I'm sorry, but that leftover Italian hoagie, it looks pretty good. So, you know, we would have battles growing up. But yeah, I mean, hiding it is the key. I've been yelled at numerous times for eating my wife's certain snacks she likes. But I said, I won't do that if you've made sure I have plenty of the snacks I enjoy. So can we get on that? I'm just kidding. She would smack the taste out of my mouth.
Yeah, no, it's even gotten to the point now too, where like my wife will buy like, whether it be the Swiss cake rolls or the ho-hos or whatever.
Oh, I'm doing the Christmas tree cakes from Little Debbie right now.
Oh man. She bought two boxes, one for my son, one for me. Guess who ate a box and a half?
You did.
Mm. Oh, hell yeah.
I got a box of Christmas tree and a box of oatmeal cream pie. And my son said, Dad, I never had these Christmas tree cakes before. They're so good. I was like, wait a minute. How many have you eaten? He said two.
Well, the Christmas tree box is gone, and I know I'm the one who ate all the rest. How many come in a box? Six or eight?
But they're like gone, six or eight. Yeah, I think they're six or eight.
Well, but you know what? Hey, real quick though, these Little Debbie Christmas tree cakes, is it me, RJ, or were they bigger when we were kids? Because I feel like this thing I can hold in the palm of my hand. It's like the Christmas tree cake is about the length of my hand. I thought they used to be bigger.
Well, I had Casio on a couple of weeks ago, and we actually talked about it. They actually make two different sizes now. They make a big one, like a jumbo one, that's probably about that big and that about that wide. And they make the smaller ones, because I think the smaller ones come, correct me if they may come two in a pack.
Where the bigger, this one was, these were one in a pack. Mm. And this was not their jumbo. I'll tell you that right now. And you know what? The other thing that's pissing me off, RJ, while we're talking about food, why can McDonald's not get their act together? When I order a double quarter pounder with cheese, I want two patties. I don't want to get home and it's a single quarter pounder with cheese. Okay, I'm done.
Well, while we're on McDonald's, have you had your McRib yet?
I have, yesterday.
I saw it. Efren had had one. He's like, well, the first one was terrible. Yeah.
He said the first one was terrible. The second one, not so bad. I'm like, you're ridiculous. Hey, it was the same day I had one. So I texted the guys yesterday and I said, is a double quarter pounder with cheese meal, large fry, and a McRib, is that too much for one person's meal? And Timmy said, for a normal person, yes. For you, Paulie, no.
Hey, you got to go hungry. I think it was one night, and this is a wrestling show. We're still going to talk about food, but I don't care. We have
we're making it a variety show.
Exactly. Right? Why not? There's a pizzeria around the corner from us called Rhino's, and they made it's called a beef Wellington sub.
Okay.
It's, a foot long. It's a large. So it had, obviously roast beef. It had onions. It had mushrooms. It had gravy. And it had garlic sauce.
Okay.
I ate that whole thing.
Nice. That's strong.
The whole thing. My wife, I don't know if you're familiar. Are you familiar with garbage plates?
I've heard of it before, but tell me, aren't some of them are made a little differently, aren't they?
Basically, it's like a bed of hash browns or home fries. Then it's a layer of mac salad or potato salad. Then it's a layer of your choice of meat, whether it be a hot dog, hamburger, what have you. Then it's a layer of hot meat sauce.
Oh, okay.
Then you have onions, ketchup, mustard, relish, whatever you want. My wife got something called a chicken and waffles plate, which is waffle fries, chicken tenders with,
I know you like your chicken tenders. I remember that from Jimmy's Famous Seafood.
Oh, there you go. I go to a seafood place and I get chicken fingers.
That's right. I'll never forget it.
No.
Can I get the chicken nuggets, please? I'm like, what are you, 12, RJ? What's going on here?
Well, then come with a toy. I'm still waiting on the toy.
He wants the toy.
But it comes with that, and it comes with basically it's glorified barbecue sauce.
Okay.
So she got a full plate, half plate. So she had leftovers. So she leaves it in the fridge. I'm sitting there, get up. I'm like, I'm hungry. This is probably about 11 o'clock. I'm still up watching wrestling or whatever. And I'm like, man, I'm hungry. I go and look in the fridge, look at that. I'm like, she didn't say not to eat it.
Oh, RJ, what have you done?
I'm like, eh, what the hell? So I ate the whole, that other half of the plate. And she's like, we get up the next morning to have coffee and breakfast and whatever. She's like, where's my dinner from last night? I ate it. She's like, you're kidding, right? I'm like, no. She's like, you had that whole sub. Then you had ice cream. Then you had that. She's like, did you get sick? I'm like, no, not yet.
Hey, listen, one more recommendation, then we'll move on from the food boner question. Yeah. Little Caesars, okay? So this was a place I enjoyed when I was a kid. They had the square. They put it all in the bag, right, with the crazy bread. And you'd have, like, the two sides, the square pieces. And they came back, and everything was, like, $5 for a couple years. You know, it was, like, already made in the box. You come in, you grab it out of the little bin, you pay for it, you leave. So, you know, but I've heard, like, they continue to grow, and I've noticed through advertising, because Lord knows if you sit down to watch wrestling, you're getting about 10, 15 different food things thrown in your face during the commercials. I've saw that they have a lot more options. So I went in last weekend, RJ, on their new deep dish, Ultimate Supreme Pizza. Okay. And I made sure I got an extra side of that crazy sauce. Cause you know, you want to be able to dip that in, especially if you're getting a deep dish. RJ, can I tell you, I loved it. I'm in love. I highly recommend it. If you're thinking about Little Caesars, try the deep dish. If you like lots of toppings, like I do, the Ultimate Supreme, they have other ones, veggie and meat and all that. But man, talk about impressive. That's my recommendation for just the tips here with RJ.
There you go. I got nothing to say to that, but anyways, did you have the one that had the crazy bread in the crust?
They make that now. I didn't have that with this pizza. I just got their deep dish, but I've had that before. Again, when we were kids growing up, there was a Little Caesars that was kind of in a strip mall near us. Mm-hmm. And I think Thursday nights was our go-to Little Caesars, where they come in and it was in that white bag. You know what I'm talking about? It was like a paper and you pulled it out and it was like two pizzas. Man, we used to have that all the time growing up.
We actually had, I grew up outside of Buffalo. We actually had, this will date you and I both because you'll know what it is. We had a pizza inside inside a Kmart.
Oh, of course. Yes, they were in Kmarts. Yeah.
So we went there. We get same sort of thing. It's similar to to Little Caesars.
I love
and,
it.
And I'm like, even might as well throw Blockbuster in there too. But
yeah.
So we got a couple more questions.
Oh boy.
And believe it or not, they're both food. Believe it or not, I don't know. I don't know how.
This
I
is all from Hermes. This is all from Hermes.
Yeah,
this is
from Hermes. I'm going to call him Hermie. He can come at me. Well, it can't get any better than this. So you're at a Waffle House after several adult beverages with Big Jake, Jay-Z Flair, and Big Red. In minutes, what's the over-under before y'all asked to leave? Quote.
Before we're all asked to leave, because we've had a couple drinks and now we're feasting.
Yeah.
How long would it be?
Over or under in minutes.
I would say give it under an hour and a half, 90 minutes. 90 minutes or less, we would be asked to leave. Are you kidding me? First of all, Jay-Z Flair would be loud and all over that place. He'd be taking pictures with the cooks. He'd be calling the waitress Shug. Hey, Sugar. The checkout person, Hermes, I don't know. I don't know what he's like when he gets out. I've not heard, hung out with him and Big Jake, but they seem like they have a ton of personality. I think all of us can put down the drinks and all of us could put down the food. So under 90 minutes, they would be kicking our asses out.
You know, I will be
The cook wouldn't be able to keep up with us either.
Well, I'm sure he's probably been drinking since lunch anyway. So what the hell's the difference? hit something hard. I don't want to limp away from
this wreck. As long as the cigarette ashes don't end up in our food, I don't care.
Or any other stuff. Band-aids or
that kind of Waffle House.
Yeah, that kind of Waffle House. More of the Southern Waffle Houses.
Boy.
But it was funny
you just shot on the South. Oh, I love it.
But I will give them a benefit of the doubt. See, I dissed them and now I'm going to compliment them. When I used, because my wife and I, my wife's family used to have a house on the Gulf Coast of Florida. So we'd drive from New York all the way to Florida, probably about twice a year. And I legitimately, it was between Pennsylvania and I want to say South Carolina, Georgia, that before we got to the Florida border, I would count the skin flutes
skin what are we talking about here?
Skin, I call them skin bars, but they're probably like adult bookstores.
Where you play the skin flute. I gotcha.
Exactly. And Efren
shoe shows
those two.
Yeah.
Between those, fireworks and Waffle Houses
and Dirty Dick's Crab House. That's, you see those going down the Outer Banks.
And get
your crabs at Dirty Dick's.
I'm sure they got that on the shirt by now, but
It is. There's plenty of them down there as you go down to the Outer Banks, North Carolina. All the restaurants down there, Dirty Dick's Crab House. Get your crabs at Dirty Dick's.
Just like, hey, man's had your wife.
There you go.
Or man's did your wife? Excuse me.
Yeah.
And I'd call it the Waffle House. We call them Wahos.
Wahos. Okay.
And see, that's a northern thing. I stupid northern things. So the last question from Hermie is I can just see it coming in now. Oh God,
I can't wait.
I'm just gonna mute him at this point because.
No, I want him to light you up like a Christmas tree. Make Twitter entertaining again.
Exactly, 'tis the season.
Yeah.
He says, "Okay, and because we know that you love food, why is smothered and covered, peppered and diced the only way to prepare a Waffle House order?"
Dude, you know, smothered, covered, to me, that just sounds like lots of extras. And I just told you my favorite pizza is the ultimate. It's every topping. I'm all in on how you can make it bigger, better, fattier, cheesier, gravy, add the gravy. I mean, that's all of it, man. It's all I'm all in on that. So whatever he's talking about, smothered and covered, I know that's a way that you order your tots or whatever at Waffle House. And it's cheese and maybe gravy. I don't know, some different things like that. I'm all in, and that's the way to go. You need to try everything at least once. So I'm in.
Well, is that old Larry the Cable Guy skit? Goes in smothered and covered, comes out scattered and splattered.
There you go. There you go. But punch. RJ will be here all week, everyone.
As I get a knock at the door from Larry the Cable Guy, hey, cease and desist. You can't say that on your show.
Yeah. As long as it's not your wife looking for her leftovers, you're okay.
Yeah, right. Those are gone. Those have been gone for hours. So with smothered and covered, is there was this place out in Buffalo where I went to school. It was called Jimmy's. No, I don't know. It was some hot dog place. And it was basically right around the corner from the college. So they had a deal where you buy five hot dogs, you get the six free.
Oh, wow. That's not bad.
So after a night of drinking downtown Buffalo, you got to get your eat on. So we'd go over, we'd stagger or walk, whatever, you know, we decided to do.
However you got there, crawled, whatever. You
know, sometimes we'd hop in a shopping cart and we got pushed. I don't know. That may have been me or not. I can't deny or confirm that. But anyways, we get in there and we buy five. I would have five. My girlfriend, my wife now, would have the sixth one. And we'd call them shit canoes.
Huh.
So you could get your regular hot dog. You'd get chili, onions, relish, mustard, ketchup, all down the hatch. And we call them shit canoes because legitimately when you were done, you shit a canoe.
Wow. Okay. Well, now you've learned more about RJ than you've ever wanted to know.
There you go.
You shit a canoe. Very good. Hey, I love the. I'm all in on the chili dog. Chili dog, onion, so give me mustard, some shredded cheddar. I'm all in on a chili dog every day of the week.
So soak up that.
Boob. And you know what's not too bad? Do you have a Sonic near you?
Yeah.
They have those. They have the Coney Island footlongs. And you can get those with chili, onion, mustard, cheese, whatever you want. Get two of those bad boys and see if that doesn't hit the spot. Again, another food recommendation here, just the tips with Paul and RJ.
And if you listen to Saved by the Pod, you know that's not a foot long. It's 9.5 inches.
Boom. There you go. Efren specialty.
Or 9 inches. I think it's nine.
No, Efren specialty is 9.5 inches. 9.5 inches. That's where his sweet spot is.
Literally. And I think that's going to be his autobiography, 9.5 inches.
My life, all 9.5 inches, written by Efren.
That's trademarked. And I'm sure I'll get Efren. You can just send your royalty checks right to me. I'll send you my address. Called Stoner Dale has a couple questions.
Stoner Dale.
The one, the only, the 420 champion himself. His first question, I don't know how you could sum him up, but he said, describe Stoner Dale in two words.
Two words, Stoner Dale. You know what? I think I'm ready. I think I'm going to do it. And this might surprise some of you, but I'm going to say when I think of Stoner Dale, I think sounding board. Stoner Dale is one of my closest friends and has really become that over the last 2 years. Sounding board, whether it comes to podcasting, whether it comes to ideas that I think would work, whether it comes to just life. He is,
and he's going to hate me because his gimmick is not this. He is one of the nicest guys that I've ever known. And he's just always there when I have a question or problem or need to talk to him about something. So I'm a big fan of Stoner Dale, but I would say sounding board, because he's one of those guys, and I have a few, but he's one of the ones that I really count on and look to for advice.
Well, you can't get much better than that. And no wonder you have to go to Stoner Dale between Timmy and Efren. I'm sure they'll go, you know, batshit crazy trying to figure out what to say and
hurting those cats.
You know, yeah. with I'm sure with Efren, it's all about, you know, he lost him at board. And
hey, listen, Efren again, one of my best friends. We have gotten so close over the last 2 years. He's really helped change me as a person in ways that he'll probably never know. And I'm thankful for that, but also he just we talk all the time, and yes, he's loud, proud, and out there, and has a lot of thoughts and things, but man, I wouldn't want him any other way. He's just a really, really good guy. So great group of friends. Again, it's just another example of how meeting people through these families, through these communities, through these ad-free shows or WHW, it's where we all met through Twitter. I can't say enough of it, because I'm living proof that I've met some of my closest friends in life now through these avenues. So enough about that mushy gushy lovey-dovey stuff.
Well, I'm sure you could have effort in different ways if you really played your cards right, but
yeah, I mean, you've seen the Titanic, the bald Tannic picture.
Boy, I had to put that out there. I'm like, oh, this is gonna
thanks,
pop,
RJ.
This is gonna put pop so many people. I'm like, I just had to do it. shout out to JD Hoop for his great work.
Man, really, I can't talk, and don't get me started on him. I'll give the testimonial about that guy. He's just one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet and work with. Man. Really great guy.
Well, the whole Hoop family in general, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Hoop too. I mean, my goodness, that guy is encouraging, supportive. He's Jay-Z Flair's Arn Anderson, and you know, he loves his JR's barbecue. So
cool. Yeah, I saw that he sent a couple bottles to Dave, but
the mustard, that's good stuff, man. If you haven't tried that, check it out.
I was gonna try the mustard and the ketchup too.
Yeah,
but Stoner Dale's last question, it's completely other end of the spectrum, so this is why I'm asking it, because, well, why not? He says, who is the hottest woman in wrestling, and why is it Aaliyah, whatever her name is, Gutierrez?
Oh yeah, Mysterio's daughter.
Mysterio's daughter, and I could put an addendum to this too, I forgot the stupid name now. Forgot her name. It escaped me. Lacey Evans.
Oh my God! All right, so let's talk about wrestling women. I'm all for this topic. So, he's right. She's a cutie, but she's way too young for me. But she is a cutie. She's legal, but she's a cutie. She's definitely a cutie. Man, you know who I really like? There's a couple. I'll give you a couple. How's that? I really like Zelina Vega. I know she's no longer with the company, but there is something to be said. I'm about 6'4". There is something about those shorter in stature women that, man, just drives me a little nuts. And she I don't know. She just has that look. I am very attracted to her. I think she is extremely gorgeous. So I'm a fan of hers. Also Alexa Bliss, again, another short stature, but the blonde with the blue eyes. She was also a gymnast. I mean, how much better does it get than that? Not only is she like 5'2", but she's done gymnastic routines. Are you kidding me with that flexibility? And she's got a great personality, so she'd be fun too. And she's another gorgeous one. And then Lacey Evans, my goodness. If you saw Instagram today, holy smokes, I think she melted Instagram. I see, and it's shown up on Twitter. I love the person that she is, but when she shows that sexy side of her too, it is damn sexy, RJ. And so I'd like her. I would say they're probably, you know, they're all right there. You know what? I'm a low-key Charlotte Flair guy too. I will admit that. I think Paige is another one. My son's absolutely in love with Sasha Banks. I'm starting to grow concerned with how much she is. What else? I'm thinking AEW. Penelope Ford is a cutie. Britt Baker, maybe with some of all the work that she's had done lately, is starting to come around. But anyway, on Rebel, you can't forget about Rebel. I help her with the happy hours. I'm a fan there.
But no, yeah. Mysterio's daughter is definitely a cutie, and I'm interested to see how they kind of handle her going forward and, you know, what the next steps are for her. They obviously like her and are putting her on TV quite a bit. So
yeah,
it's interesting to see where that goes. But yeah, so those are just a few. I know Stoner wanted one, but man, I can't stop at one. Are you kidding me?
Just like potato chips. You just can't have one.
Once you pop, you can't stop, right?
Literally.
Pringles.
And the food boner too. So,
doesn't get any better. Women and food.
Yeah, no kidding. So thanks to Hermes and Stoner for those questions. So, you know, I'm going to bounce this. I know we've talked about this before to get your opinion on this. So coming up after the first of the year, we're going to take the holidays. Once we get through the holidays, we're actually going to have, I'm going to bring in a new co-host of mine.
You're bringing in a co-host, RJ.
I am calling in from the bullpen.
Wow, this is going to be fun.
So a guy that you're very familiar with, he's been on your and Jay-Z show.
Okay.
Dave Kyle.
Dave in the QC.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
He is coming to test the waters of the podcasting world. And I told you this, I said once, I heard him on your show. I said, this guy needs to be on a podcast, wherever it may be. And then I came up with a concept and pitched it to him. He said, yep, love to do it. Try it out. I'm going to plan on getting some equipment and, let's get through the holiday season. Obviously it's busy for everybody. Let's get through the holiday season. And then as the first of the year, we hit the ground running. I said, let's go. So basically the concept is, if anybody has seen, the show Pardon the Interruption.
Yeah, PTI.
On ESPN. It's going to be very similar to that. However, it's going to be with our own twist, where it's going to be basically a very wrestling-oriented, wrestling-heavy, but we're going to try to get some, you know, different things in it, whether it be sports or movies and just kind of leave it open to anything. Try not to limit ourselves with that. But they're going to be timed intervals. Just like PTI, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We're going to have some listener interaction where everybody can, you know, bid or whatever the case may be to, you know, send over audio with a question. And then, you know, Dave and I will kind of just shoot the shit and call it in the ring and, and go from there, you know, kind of a different kind of concept. So that's going to start as of the first of the year. Hit us up, see what what you guys want to talk about. Obviously it's going to be like I said, wrestling heavy.
You know what I like about this, RJ? Yeah. I like David Kyle, Dave in the QC, because he has an opinion. And he is not afraid to share his opinion. And I think a dynamic with someone, you know, who is your speed, your style, your delivery, your thoughts, versus if it's going to be PTI, right? So you think Wilbon Kornheiser and how they go back and forth. I love the fact that a guy with an opinion like Dave is going to be a part of something like this. I think, to me, he's perfect when it comes to that. If you guys can get your equipment all worked out and all the technical things, all the stuff behind the scenes to make sure everything works and sounds good, that's, you know, half the battle. But I think once he gets on there and you give it a few episodes and he gets comfortable and you guys start to find a niche, hey, we know where we're headed every week. He's a guy that has his own, that has an opinion, is not afraid to share it. It could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And like I said, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, after I heard him with you and Jay-Z, I said, dude, this guy is, and I told Jay-Z this afternoon, I said, dude, you know, obviously he's not going to be as big as Jay-Z Flair. Nobody's as big as Jay-Z Flair, even in Jay-Z Flair's world, but no disgrace there. Obviously it's Jay-Z's a great guy, as you know, but, it's just get him involved with this, hit the ground running. And
I think once you get Dave comfortable though, you're going to see some of that big personality too.
Yeah. And I even told him, I said, look, if this is going to be, you want to do a couple episodes and say, hey, this isn't for me, or they don't have the time or whatever, that's fine, man. I just want you to get out there and, show the world just who you are, good or bad.
You never know unless you dip your toe in the water. I'm telling you, man, you know, if you got an itch, you got an urge, there's nothing wrong with trying. And the only regret you'll have one day is that you didn't. So, you know, we talked at the beginning of the episode about life being short. So go for it. I'm happy to hear about it. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys come up with.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, obviously it's going to be one of those things where it's always going to be open to, you know, expanding a little bit more. You know, we've seen a lot of the back to the ad-free shows. We've seen a lot of the, you know, the videos come out with a lot of these shows with Eric and Arn and JR come out in video form on ad-free shows. And it's just, it's that time everybody's home now with this pandemic. So why not, you know, put something new out and, you know, throw it against the wall and see if it sticks.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was going to say. Throw it against the wall and see what sticks. Well, listen, RJ, I appreciate you having me on this week. Is it okay if I plug a few things?
Sure. That was right next up.
Awesome. Yeah. So Saved by the Pod, we talked about that quite a bit. You can find us at SavedBTPod on Twitter, and we're at Saved by the Pod on Instagram. That's where you can keep up with us. You can find out our show, see that fun art that JD Who puts together, some videos Efren works hard to put together. Timmy is really behind the scenes now editing and putting the whole show together when it comes to clips and songs and all that good stuff. So it's a total team effort. You can check our website out at, SavedBytheThePod.com. And that's where you're going to find all the merch. We appreciate everyone that buys a piece of merch. RJ, you included sporting that Back to the Future style shirt. There's a lot of other styles out there. We got our most recent logo out there is from Primetime Wrestling, the old Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby the Brain Heenan show that was on USA back in the day. We did a fun play off of that Primetime podcasting. And so check that out. You can get that on some sweatshirts and stuff like that. So at Efren Blackjack, at Timmy C 1979, and I'm at Paulie Bewell for Saved by the Pod. And then I would be remiss if I didn't talk about ad-free shows. Again, RJ is a top guy and we love having him as part of the group, but there's so many other good guys and gals that are members of at ad-free shows. You can find them on Twitter and Instagram as well. Now they're on Instagram at ad-free shows, pumping out the content. Now they've recently added Bruce Mitchell to the mix. He kind of gives a what's going on in wrestling every day. There's just so much content this day in history. You got Doug Halliday out there with his artwork now, Creative Canvas once a week, where now he's getting some exposure and doing some fun artwork. You're getting a lot of stuff on video now, tons of Zoom events. I know we have some things coming up even in December, bringing some guests on. So adfreeshows.com, check it out. At least try it. You know, you can start with the $9 tier. That's going to get you everything ad free. And then as you progress up into the My Push and Top Guys, a lot more things start to open up for you. I'm telling you, it's one of those things you want to be in on the ground floor because it is going to explode. The membership's growing daily. We all watch that. And there's just a lot of exciting things there. So check out Ad Free Shows. I am involved now with the Ad Free Shows book club. So I help facilitate that. And I say facilitate because, you know, kick it off, wrap it up. But it really is for those top guys again and My Push guys to get on and ask authors of the various wrestling books questions. So the first month we had Bill Apter. He was a great guest. We read his book and got to ask him questions. And it's Zoom, so you're seeing him in his wrestling man cave. He's able to pull up stuff that he has, collectibles, and show it to you right there. Really cool. And then we had Pat LaPrade and Bertrand, who had wrote the book for Andre the Giant. And that was another fun interviews time with them. And again, top guys get to ask questions. For December, it's the 22nd. It's Under the Black Hat from Jim Ross. So he had a host, he had an author, Paul O'Brien, that helped write him, write the book with him. And he's going to be joining us for a Zoom event Tuesday, December 22nd, and we're going to break down Under the Black Hat. So he'll, again, be available to ad-free shows, top guys, and My Push guys to answer questions, maybe some stuff that didn't make the book. What was the one or two things he learned as he was writing it that just surprised him or shocked him? So you get some of that insight from authors. We already have someone for January. I can't say who that is, but it's another big book. And everyone will know, be familiar with that book. So I work on lining those up, and then a lot of stuff behind the scenes, right? So you have the Zoom events, but a lot of work goes into it behind the scenes with Evan, whether it's making sure these videos have clips for social media, whether it's, you know, trying to go out and find people for Zoom events. A lot of behind the scenes work that goes into it, the effort of ad-free shows. So I'm staying busy with that. Some may say, well, you know, why aren't you doing Jay-Z Flair? I have assumed a lot of background responsibilities in addition over there at adfreeshows.com. So lots of exciting stuff, man. RJ, 2021 is going to be awesome. I really hope that we can get through this pandemic and start doing some stuff together again. But man, I appreciate you having me on the show this week. This was a lot of fun. We touched on Pat Patterson. We touched on Saved by the Pod. We touched on ad-free shows. We talked about Paul's food addiction. You found out more than you ever wanted to know about Paul and who he likes as girlfriends in wrestling. And man, we learned about your new format. This was there a big go. Week, man.
Yeah. Big week. And you know, like I said, it's so hit the ground running to the moon and back. And you know, like I said before, you know, if you guys, you know, can't pitch ad-free shows enough, can't pitch Saved by the Pod enough, you guys aren't part of ad-free shows, go over it. Like we said, hit up at the $9 level. That'll get you all the stuff ad-free and early. And then just go from there. As far as Saved by the Pod, go over, follow, subscribe, get merch. Just support these three guys. They're great at what they do. Each and every week, the dedication that they have, it's unmatchable with any podcast that outside of ad-free shows that I've seen, because I can't imagine. I literally cannot imagine, because literally I will download this, edit it, and it'll be done in like 5 minutes and sneak behind the curtain on that. That's soon going to be changing. But like I said, Paulie, thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait to see what good stuff's to come with ad-free shows and obviously Saved by the Pod.
Hey, thank you for having me, RJ. If I don't talk to you, and I will talk on after shows, but just to you and your audience, I hope everyone has a great holiday season, Christmas, New Year's, whatever holiday you support and are take part of. But man, thank you all. This RJ, thank you for having me on, and I appreciate it.
Thank you so much to Paulie B for coming on this week's episode of the Ringside Rant. I'm going to try to keep it short and simple this week, so here we go. Head over to Instagram and Twitter and follow the show at @_ringside_rant. Head over to whatamaneuver.net, check out the merchandise store. Some new stuff's coming out soon. I can't tell you when or how or when, but it's coming soon. Thank you to Full Press Coverage for allowing the show to be on that fantastic website. Check out everything over at Full Press Coverage at @FP_coverage on Twitter, as well as Full Press Radio. Head over and use the promo code RingsideRants now to get your first 30 days free over at powerslam.tv. Fantastic show this week. I appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. Big things coming in the first of the year, as you heard on this week's episode. So stay tuned for some extensive details on what to expect from that. Obviously adding Mr. David Kyle, so I'm looking forward to working with him. If you're not subscribed, head over to wherever you get your podcast and subscribe right now. You're not going to want to miss the first of the year. Big stuff coming. I'm really digging this new format that we've come up with, as well as, obviously, like I said, adding Mr. David Kyle to the mix. Just go over, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Just absolutely looking forward to what's to come here on the Ringside Rant. A big thanks goes out to Darren over at These Wolves for this great song, Worth the Pain, for being the theme song of the Ringside Rant. Also check out Fight.tv, all their great content that they have over there as well. Absolutely fantastic if you're into wrestling, if you're into MMA, if you're into boxing, check them out, set up your account, and just enjoy each and every nook and cranny that they have over there at Fight.tv. Take the time to thank each and every one of you. It's the season of giving.
And I just want to just thank each and every one of you. There's no doubt about it that I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now if it wasn't for you guys. So I appreciate each and every one of you. Check out reapersbrew.com. They're great coffee over there. At Reapers Brew on Twitter. Just absolutely fantastic company over there. Like I said, merchandise, check that out over at whatamaneuver.net. Big thanks to Ringside Design for the logo. Big thanks to Mr. JD Hoop for all the additional logos that we've had. Each and every one of you, ad-free shows. Thank you very much for allowing me to be part of the family. NWA fam, thank you very much, as well as the Pod Squad as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and I will see you next time right here on the Ringside Rant. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation.